light one. God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, strengthen us to serve you with purified lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated.
Good morning, all. You want to gather around in this circle? Well, you're getting there. We're getting there. You want to taper off the edges here? Bring on up. Come on up. You want to come around this way? Still here? No? All right. Hold on, you're going to lift up.
Hey. Guys, go ahead and sit. You sit there. Thanks. All right. What does this look like to you? Broken line? Who said broken line? Cameron said broken line. But that is what it is, yes. Well, I think Cameron was right on the money. This is a broken line. It's kind of messy, right? There's a little bit connected, right? It's a little messy, right?
Hardcore.
That's right. What could we do to make this line a little straighter?
Can you take the tape off?
You can pick. Yeah, go ahead. Take one off.
This.
Try to make it a little bit. One at a time. That one's straight. So do this one. Let her do this one. Okay.
Hey. No, I take one off.
Here, put your finger there and you will have participated.
There
you go. All right.
Done.
Great, it's straight now, right? It's straight. You know, one of the ways that we just this see that? Yeah, see, it's a straight line, just like that. One of the ways.
Perfectly straight. That's probably like 20.
Well, we do our best, right? We do our best. One of the ways that we just get ready for Jesus coming, ready for the Lord's coming.
Take a piece of cardboard and put masking tape on.
That's right. Wow. It's blue, so it represents hope. So, one of the ways that we get ready for Jesus' coming is we prepare the way of the Lord. Who heard that when Pastor Karen said it this morning? We prepare the way. Oh, you weren't there? All right. Well, so what? One of the ways that the prophet Isaiah talked about preparing the way of the Lord was to make his paths straight. Make his paths straight. Just like this line. What would you do to prepare the way for the Lord? Would you want it to be all curvy and maybe a little bit off so that he would have a hard time getting here?
How about we take all the blue tape off, then there's the white tape.
Well, that's one way, too. We could clean it up, couldn't we? We could make it a little bit easier to see the white line, couldn't we? Can you all see the white line?
Done.
This way, that's another way to clean it up, right? So to prepare the way of the Lord is to make it easier for him to come and visit us, to come and return for us. What do you think is one way we could do that? What about like, yeah, what do you think? All right, taking duct tape off a piece of paper. What about some spiritual ways?
It's a wall.
We want to remove a lot of walls so that nobody, that Jesus can get there. I think, well, we won't talk about that. One of the ways that we can prepare for Christ's coming is to make his way a little straighter, a little easier for him to get into our hearts. And one of the ways we can prepare is to remember Him. Yeah, what are you thinking? You can pray. Yeah, that's one way. You can pray. What might you pray for in order to prepare? Ian? Thankfulness. Gratefulness is one way. What about another one? What's something we celebrate right now? You've probably heard it starts with an H. Giving. Giving is a good way of doing it. Yeah, what do you... Advent. Advent. You prepare for the Lord's coming. You keep that in mind. You keep the God's... What about hope?
Wait, when do we start Advent?
We already started last week. So, we've got two this week. That's right. So, one of the ways that we can prepare is to be mindful of how God wants us to make His path straight, the way that He can be led into this world. And the ways that He lives in us are ways, and has those shine more, those are the ways that we can prepare for Christ's coming. We can make sure that His kingdom in this world is all ready for Him when He gets here. That we can live out those things that He calls us to do. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, as we remember Your birth and we look towards Your coming in glory, we ask that You prepare us to prepare Your way so that Your kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, so that people will be prepared for it in all the ways possible. And we pray this through You and through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up high to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms, and carry them in His bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 85 responsively. You have been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob.
You have forgiven the iniquity of your people and blotted out all your sins.
I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you. Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our Lord will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and it shall prepare for God a pathway. Glory to my Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and
A reading from 2 Peter. Do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day it is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for with hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire. But in accordance with this promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Word of God, word of life.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Chapter 1, verse 1 of Mark's Gospel is really the title of the book, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ, according to Mark, doesn't start with a baby born in a stable. Mark's gospel has no angels announcing the baby's birth, no shepherds watching their flocks by night. In Mark's gospel, the beginning of the good news is a voice crying out in the wilderness. There's no gentle shepherd tending his flock or tender words of comfort, oh comfort. Mark gives us harsh words, words from a harsh man, a strange pointing man, the prophet John. We'd really rather hear good news, but we get this harsh word. We get bad news. But we'd rather hear good news, wouldn't we? Oh, we need a little Christmas right this very minute. Seems like the world has grown, as that song from Mame says, older, colder, meaner, sadder. We need a little Christmas. Actually, we need a lot of Christmas. Seems like all the voices that I'm hearing recently are telling me bad news, mean, cold, sad news. Gun violence and sexual harassment, disease and disappointment. It shows us that there are rough places that need to be made smooth. There are crooked pathways that need to be straightened out. Isaiah says that all people are withering grass. Not much hope in that. We're all dust, and we will all return to dust. Sometimes our lives don't turn out like we had hoped. Sometimes all of the bad news can get the better of us. Things go wrong. There's depression and pain there. Sin in the world. We know this. We know this is true. And yet, Isaiah says, the word of our God will stand forever. And this bad news place, this place of messiness and crooked pathways and rough places, that is the very place that Jesus Christ steps in. That's where the beginning of the good news, Mark says, in this dark place, in this midst of our messy lives, in the wilderness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The word of our God will stand forever. And what is that word of God that will stand forever? Isaiah gives us the answer. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people. See, the Lord God comes, and he will feed his flock and gather the lambs in his arms. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people. Isaiah wrote those words, those encouraging, wonderful words, when he was speaking to a people who were oppressed, beaten down, in exile, lost, broken. The people of Israel were choking on their own grief. They were exiled from their homeland, the homeland that had been destroyed by the foreign armies. And now they were in a strange land, forced to work for their conquerors. They were indeed in a wilderness time, indeed in a time of bad news. And here is the word of the Lord that comes to them, comfort. Oh, comfort my people. In the midst of that wilderness, in the midst of that misery, that tender word of God, comfort. I am here. You have not been abandoned. Hold on to my promises. So the prophet comes into the bad news place of the people with that good news that God has not abandoned you. Advent is all about the promise that we have not been abandoned, that God is with us. Even in the midst of our messy lives, even in the midst of our bad news place, even in the midst, and maybe especially in the midst of our wilderness. Mark literally begins his gospel with that passage from Isaiah. He wants us to make the connection and to see John the Baptist as the fulfillment of that promise that Isaiah made, that one will come crying out in the wilderness. It's the whole of Isaiah's promise of comfort, deliverance, and renewal that comes true in John and true in the one that John announces. Jesus is the promise. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise. And here's the thing about promises. They're not static. Not ever. A promise creates an expectation about the future and sets something in motion right now. Last month, I spent a few days with my sister and brother-in-law in Virginia. And one of the things that we really like to do together is cook and eat. And my brother-in-law makes the most delicious vegetarian roasted vegetable lasagna. And he promised that when I come out, he said, we'll make that lasagna. Well, I opened the refrigerator. I mean, that wasn't the first thing I did, but maybe the second thing. Opened the refrigerator, and I was filled with expectation because in the refrigerator were containers of the roasted vegetables that he had started on days before so that he can roast them and dry them out in the oven. Oh, it's wonderful. But so a package of eggplant and zucchini and onions and tomatoes, all of these, my expectations were raised quite a bit. I could see the promise being fulfilled. Promises create an expectation. When somebody promises to call, you start expecting that call. When a friend promises to pick you up, to give you a ride to church or to some event, you don't make other plans. You don't call for a Lyft or an Uber because you know the promise has been made. A promise creates an expectation about the future. And the future expectation sets something in motion right now in the present. So it's not, the same thing is true about God's promise. That's the message of Advent. That the promise of Jesus coming is set in motion when we hear again that promise that we start expecting. And it's not a passive, static waiting. It's an active waiting. In the vulnerable baby born in a stable, God is not only keeping the promise made to Israel, but is also making promises to us. In Jesus, God hears our cries of fear and concern and doubt that are shouted from our own wilderness places. And God responds. God responds to our present sadness and depression, to our anxiety and fear. God responds with promises of healing and peace and justice through Jesus, through his life and death and resurrection. I know you've heard this before. This is not your first Advent. And this promise and just is not just any promise, like so much pie in the sky. It's not like the broken promises that we've experienced or the unfulfilled hopes that litter our pathways, that make our way rough. That voice crying in the wilderness, that promise is not about some future event that we have to wait patiently for until the end of time. This is the promise that we are invited not only to anticipate, but to participate here and now. We can participate in this future promise of God by contributing to them here and now. You find that to be good news? That we are called to participate in that promise that God makes to the world. God keeps God's promises through our efforts at bringing peace and justice. God keeps God's promises through our efforts, through our actions of healing and comfort. Mark, and in his gospel, really points to that, to our participation. We heard that first verse of the gospel as the title of the book, and then we read the second verse as the promise. Well, the title is really a promise, too. Here's the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. Mark doesn't call his gospel the good news of Jesus Christ. He says this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. That means that everything that Mark says in his book about Jesus, all the teaching and the preaching and the healing about Jesus' death and resurrection, all of that is just the beginning of the good news. There is still more to come. And we are invited to continue that story, that good news of Jesus Christ, as God continues to write that good news through us, through our lives. It's not just Isaiah or John the Baptist who are called to cry out in the wilderness and prepare the way. That's our call, too. By paying attention to the people around us and by making a difference for good in the lives of the people that God puts into our lives, we are making God's promise come true. God is continuing the story of the good news of Jesus Christ in and through you, through our words and through our deeds. We have hundreds of opportunities today and in the days to come to contribute to this sacred story, to make it come alive, to help God keep God's promises. We won't alleviate all the pain, all the sadness or depression, or the anxiety and the fear in our own lives, much less in the whole world. We're not able to bring ultimate healing or peace or justice. That's really God's job. And we can trust that God will keep God's promises and do that. But we do hear that call that we are to participate in that. Passivity is not the virtue that we're looking for in this Advent season. We are invited to participate by trusting in God's promise and living that promise right here and now. This is called Advent waiting. Mark says that in the first words of his gospel, this story is about all those wonderful things that happened long ago. And that was just the beginning. The story continues in and through us. Yeah, it's great to see the Christmas crash and to remember that event of thousands of years ago. The pageants and the concerts create traditions for us and bring back great memories. But that is just the beginning. That's not what we're waiting for. We're not waiting for Christmas morning to say, Happy birthday, Jesus. That's part of it. But here's the good news. That God's promise is that that continues. That's just the beginning. God's the promise maker and the promise keeper. And we are invited to be a part of that. So thanks be to God for all of you who cry out those promises, because there's a world that's so eager to hear, who need to hear that good news in this world that's filled with so much bad news. This is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here is your God coming with might to comfort all of God's people. And you are called to participate in that, to bring that good news to people who need to hear that word of comfort and peace. And however you do that, so get busy with your waiting. Amen.